So we didn't talk about sex or not. It's not really legal, you know what I mean? You're supposed to do it. Don't tell anybody. Our book explained it, but nobody likes the explanation. It says most all of us need an overhauling there. Just like that. Which means there may be somebody come by sometime that doesn't. But nobody has yet, but they're still waiting for that first one to come in, you know. It's just like anything else, eating ice cream, working. We screwed up. You know, insane people get doing the sex area to better than anything else. When you're crazy, you know, that's us. We're just crazy. Just, you know, it's amazing that insane people have driver's licenses and cars, ride around, meet together. And I always like when we have a business meeting. First business meeting I had in Alcoholics Anonymous, there were 17 people there. I won't tell you the whole story, but when we finally got to vote after the arguments, one person was on one side, had been sober 14 years, and the other one was on the other side, had been sober 16, and there was a tie vote four times in a row. 17 people. You know what I like about you and I? Two or more, we can't settle nothing. Great brains, couldn't settle nothing. Just couldn't do it. We meet together, have a business meeting. If we don't have any solid prayer before the meeting, we blow the whole thing. Even getting all that input in. But when they put in there the lines that's in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, is absolutely the truth about you and I. There's just nothing else to it. That's just the truth. And you don't even have to talk about it, because that's just the way it is. In the sex department, with people that hit that door, we need an overhauling there. And how are you going to do that when you're the way you are? You get, you know, you say, well, you need an overhauling there. You say, well, what'd I do? Do it upside down? You know. You know how we are. What do I do different? And of course, you don't do any of it different. And the bad part about it, if you were like me, I had trouble with whatever that was I had with women. And see, I was very fortunate I had the same thing with different women. So it began to find dawn on me as I got to AA, it didn't matter which woman it was or what she was, as long as she had the same thing I had to fit. And as long as I've got the sex sickness, and that's what it is, or just sex. Baptists, of course, call it love, but as long as I've got that, then I've just got it. And I cannot believe I'd always change women saying, this time, she's really going to be the one. This one is really going to be the one. This is it. And it was always that it was going to be this one this time. I never did go what it wasn't going to be it. Even if it was just one night, it was it. But I never got enough of anything, misery or anything, one night. And my sex wasn't any different than ice cream or anything else. Before I'd even get through, I'd think about doing it again. So I knew it wasn't going to be enough. That's the way we are. Yeah, we're just that way. It's not anything any different. Just hell, that's the way we are. But there's also something it never did satisfy me. It never did work out. And it never is going to work out until something happens to who? To me. Not her, me. Something has to change with me. Well, how am I going to do that? Well, I want to play the... Now, all that came out about all the women, different women I went with, the different deals I had, the same thing with each woman, all that came out in the fourth step, the garbage stuff. And then, that didn't do me any good, did it? Still got it. You know what I mean? So you got that thing? Yep, got that thing. Well, you got it. So it didn't make me any different, did it? Not a bit. how was I going to be the person that quit drinking? The symptom of my problem was drinking. How was I going to get rid of the symptom? Stop drinking. You can catch on to this rest part and you're not going to like it. I could not stop drinking. Just couldn't do it. I could not stop having affairs with women, And that's darn, did you want to talk about it? I bet you won't talk about it anymore. So if I've got that problem, then what do I do? Cut it out. Just stop. Now, what do I do? Just don't do it. God, that didn't bother anybody in here, but I bet a lot of folks somewhere would be bothered with that. Especially right now when you know you've got it right. And you know this one is different. And this deal is different. And I'll tell you one thing about us, and we're that way. We can come in this place and we can stay in here. How do you like it? How do you like it when you run into one of us and you haven't seen us for a year and a half? Still saying the same damn thing about the same subject in the same screwed up mess with a different mess. That's us. What I like about it is us, we never change too quick. I want to make sure that I don't screw up and give up something that's ruining my life. Well, what if you made a mistake like that? What if you said, my God, here I am, and I've given up something that's ruining my life. I may have to go ahead and enjoy myself. Why, it'd ruin you. What if it really was true? Somebody said, how are you, fine? Tell me the truth. How are you really? I'm fine. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? I like when they say, how are you, fine? How are you really? Well, let me tell you. How long? Now I'm going to tell you exactly what I did. Do not recommend it. Do not say you need to do it. But I'll tell you exactly what I did. Well, I had Alcoholics Anonymous. I had one of the worst sponsors available to men today. I was not sleeping with my wife. Hated her. We didn't even use the same bathroom. We slept in separate areas, and we lived in separate areas, and we met in the middle for battle, and that was it. And I told them openly that I was not sleeping with them, was not having sex with anybody, and that I had some picked up. Because hell, they're here. You know, my God, can't you? You know what the deal is. You've been here a little while. Prettiest thing I ever saw in my life walk through that door. Brand new, wide open. And I can save them in a living minute. And all she needs, she doesn't want to talk to a girl, wants to talk to a man. Why? Sick. We got it. Now, nobody probably does that here. A lot of times you see guys get girls that are not very old in their age to have, or vice versa. And that's it. God, when those chemistries get sick stuff in, you could be so totally in love about 10 days, you may have to drink. It's just fantastic. Hell, it just sucks you in there. You just know that's it. And of course, we do that. But this guy would not let me do that. And I want to tell you something. I never lived a week and a day in AA that I didn't have one girl and maybe two spotted in case they ever got me off of that caution light on the green. I'll assure you that they did not keep me from thinking about it every living day and picking that girl out every time. I'd get that sick one every time. And I had them from the moment I came to that door. And God, this guy kept saying, we're just waiting for you to take off with one of those girls. Just waiting for them. Just knew I was going to do it. But he didn't tell me that until afterwards. But everybody was watching Jimmy because they knew he had the deal. And I didn't know what I had. How do you know what you got when you don't know when you got it? When you got it, you don't know what you got. You don't know what you got until you don't have it anymore. Then you know what you have. But you never know what you got. Because they say, what the hell, how would I fit in? You say, well, Jim, you just got that old sex sickness, that's all you got. Well, that's not true. That's not true. I'm really in love. The sex just kind of goes along with it. Of course. So they told me, now this is it. Just like they said, the 6 or 7 steps. How am I going to be willing to get rid of it? Well, the way you be willing, keep thinking about it, wanting it, desiring this sick deal, and don't take any action on it whatsoever. That's when they added to my prayer, help me to death it, should that old sex hang up return, because it hadn't left. Let me be willing to have that removed from me. And should it return, that's a thought refeeding with definitely no action taken. By the way, that's still in my prayer today, 16 years later. But I went through that deal, and I don't want to encourage or discourage you in case you ever want to entertain the thought of going through the deal. Something had to happen to me. Well, when I cut that off, and I had a hard time, and I'll guarantee you one thing, when the crowd went to ice cream, I made sure one of those girls I had in mind at the time was in my group, and that I sat by side of her, one side or the other. And of course they could tell that. You don't ever notice that happening here, but you couldn't my group. And my group, he says, remember, you don't even take any girl by yourself to ice cream. They evidently thought I couldn't be trusted. I could, but they didn't think so. So I didn't do it. And the main reason I didn't do it was because the son of a bitch was with me all the time. So I couldn't do it. And I guarantee you I wanted to 24 hours a day. The reason I know I did it is because when I'd wake up, I was thinking about it. So I know I was thinking about it while I was laying there asleep. Finally went through the deal of not doing it over a long period of time. And I had brain damage, not doing it. Because there's no relief. You can't drink, you know. And you got it. And you know you have it. So there's nothing you know about. Finally, after several months, I'm going to tell you how many, that thing really surfaced. And I knew there, I didn't know what it was, but I knew I had something bad and it hurt and I couldn't get rid of it. Now see, how did I get to that? I didn't figure that out. I didn't get down with a group of people and we figured out what's wrong with me. How in the hell would a bunch of insane people sit down and figure out what's wrong with you? Hell, we're all crazy, you know. What the hell are you going to do? That's the most ridiculous thing I think anybody says we do. You need to sit down and reason that out. How in the hell could we reason anything out? My God, the best thing we ever did with a subject is don't mess with it. Don't even talk about it. My God, tell it. Don't answer the son of a bitch. My God, what if you gave somebody an answer? Can you imagine anybody in AA giving advice? Think about it. Can you imagine anybody in AA taking advice from anybody in AA? You know, we've got to have more insane people don't do that. They've got sense enough to know everybody in this room's nuts. Somebody says, God, I'm going to tell you something. Really got me tonight. What? She criticized me. My God. Alcoholic criticizing somebody and making you feel bad over it. We do that, you know. God, the insane person just told me what's wrong with me. Wouldn't that be a hell of a thing? He has stiffed us. You know, we're proven insane. We're proven. We get into crazy institutions, insane institutions where we get into it and they never make a bottle. The only problem they got room for them. We go to Terrell. Our closest friends have been to Terrell. I'm not trying to impress upon you anything. It's just this is I wouldn't take what we say too seriously. In the first place, don't go by it today. Wait and check it out tomorrow and see what they think. Hell, it'll be a totally different deal tomorrow. Can you imagine somebody being what you want them to be? Well, my God, it'd have to be 12 people in 8 days. And then 4 more on the side. Wouldn't that be hell if your wife is what you wanted her to be? Or your husband? My God! He'd be... I went through that deal. Then I had it, and God, I hurt. And you know me, I told my sponsor, ever, you know how we are, love to talk about the damn problem. Love to live in it. My God, we've got a good one, and don't let it loose. My God, keep talking about, keep that baby alive and moving. And so I kept telling him about it every day, and I'm hurting, and I can't, I'm trying to get him to let me go do something. He won't do nothing. I even tell him the girl I've got picked out. That doesn't help, nothing helps. And then finally I told the group, and the group says, don't tell the group things like that. Some girl told me after the meeting, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit that damn group. Hurt my feelings. An insane person hurt my feelings. So I went to another group, and I told them. And then one of them snitched on me. You know, we don't gossip here, we're just concerned. My sponsor said, you know, usually when you stop doing something, that experience just happens. It's not that way with you. It hadn't been that way with you. You absolutely refuse to give that up. You're not going to give it up. So there's nothing anybody can do. Oh, what's her name's in Oklahoma? Why don't you go home, lock that apartment, and don't come out of there until that thing's gone. We're so sick and tired of hearing that. The group's sick of it. Everybody that knows you's sick of it. And I've had all of it. I won't. That is about 10 o'clock that day. Any day to get out of work's worth it. So I went home, locked the door of that old apartment, and I cried, and I prayed for them long, any kind, Baptist, any kind. And I prayed, and I cried, and I hit the couch. I'd already learned to quit hitting the bar. It hurt your hand, you know. Used to that drinking, but no more. And then about 11, 12 o'clock at night, I finally just out of gas and went to bed, went to sleep. Next morning, it was not there. For the first time since I could remember, whatever that sex, love, lust thing was, I didn't have. And it wasn't there. Then hell, I was scared to go out, so I said, woman, come back. That night I slipped off to the meeting and I said, I'm not going to tell the son of bitches. By God, they're so smart about it. I'm not going to tell everyone else is smart. The group went back, that group snitched on me. And I waited 4 more nights. And then finally I walked up to him after the meeting. I says, well, I guess I might as well tell you something. He said, oh, we knew it the first night. I said, why didn't you tell me? He said, you need to know that you're going to always be the last to know. I said, why is that? He said, we don't know. But you're going to have to remember that no matter what the deal is, you're going to always be the last to know. And for some reason, you've got to be last before you can be first. I said, always, he said, forever. Remember, everybody out there will always know before you know. Anytime a change happens, they'll know it before you know it. And you're going to find that as you go through this walk of life, people will say, sometimes every day, say, God, you look good, and you know you don't. Because there hasn't been any change, but there has. But you don't know. You know what? You got to be last to know. Everybody else got to find out first. I don't like that, do you? The greatest people in the world that wanted to be first. Wanted to be. And Jeremiah, either last or first. We don't want to be anywhere else. We don't want to be number 10. We want to be one or done. Top bottom. That's the only two places we know. What's in between? We have no idea. Never been there. We got bongo full way up there, and something happens. That's the way we live, right there. It's hard on you, but hell, that's the way of life. And you will have to say, it's not like anybody else's. It's not boring. Your life has not been boring. Accidentally, once in a while, you might get in there and say, oh my God, I'm sick of this. We don't hang in there long, I'll guarantee you that. If we're in there, it's just an accident. We're out of gas or too tired or something. Just last week, group of men, we'll do. Well, you are. Right on top or right at the bottom. And man, what I like about it is how fast we can get there. We can get there quicker than any living soul. Right from the top to the bottom and just like that. Just a click of an eye. And what I like about it is we say, what happened? I don't know, but it happened. What's wrong? Everything. One thing goes wrong, light. The light was red and I was in a hurry. And that's all. Then the whole damn day went to hell, and we can tell you exactly what's wrong with God, what's wrong with people, what's wrong with my job, what's wrong with my marriage, what's wrong. I need to leave the whole damn thing in less than a minute. And you know what I like about it? We mean it. How am I going to not be mad at anybody anymore? I'm not going to be mad at anybody anymore. We're angry and hate people. So I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, I've already learned how to do my little sex deal, right? Everybody got that? I'm going to have to get over high there no matter what I do. Now, what else? Now, what else was I going to do? Now, if I'm going to have this with a woman, how am I going to do it? Well, in the first place, I've got to learn how to know some things. I'm never going to find fault with anybody. What's really wrong with me? I don't forgive myself. What's really wrong with me today? I don't forgive myself. Why will I forgive myself? I don't know. I just don't. Do you know you don't forgive yourself? No, you don't. I do not know that I don't forgive myself. Anybody says, you know what's really wrong with you? The worst thing in the world, the hardest thing you're ever going to do is to forgive yourself. And I say, that's not true. Well, it is. How do they know that's not true? The way I act and live. They know I'm a person who does not forgive himself. Why do you do that? Because you don't give up what's ruining you. You don't give up what's making you misery. Why don't I want to give up? I don't forgive myself. We're going to make amends? Who's going to make amends? To who? Who's the one I hurt the most? You know why I hurt me the most? The rest of them left me. They'd have hung in there and got them just like I was getting me. But hell, they left. Right when I was going to destroy them completely, hell, they went off. Didn't have any courage. Hell, I could have killed them if they just hung in there. They could have had some bad diseases and died because I had them on the road. And I do it naturally. I suck them in, but they don't even know I'm sucking them in. And I suck them in when I don't even know I'm sucking them in. See, what I like about an alcoholic is they not only destroy themselves, they anybody else that'll hang around, they'll take care of that too. They're not selfish. They'll share death with anybody. Anybody, can you imagine being living with an alcoholic and not drinking? It's hard for me to think what it is for them. God, they're there living with a drinking alcoholic. Getting sicker by the living minutes and not even getting to get drunk over it. I sure admire them coming to this deal, and they didn't get to do it, and got just as sick as I did. People who live with an insane person, you only can do it one way. You got to go crazy yourself. You can't stay around insane people without them going crazy, or they run you crazy. And we just do that. So I need to forgive myself. How am I going to make amends to people? How am I going to make amends? What am I going to do about making amends? Well, of course, a lot of us owe money. If I had, you know, and I had credit, I owed money. long time I didn't know money was going to debit and credit. And they made me go to everybody that I owed money to and tell them that I was going to pay them. Didn't know when, didn't know how, would not let me tell them I'd found God. You know, a drunk walking in sober a few months saying, now that I found God, it's not too noticeable he's found God or anything else. And the first one I went to, I tried to get him to go with me, wouldn't do it. Made me go all by myself. It wasn't but 44. Went in there, disguises. I said, I just want to tell you that I've had a lot of difficulties in my life. I know a lot of people. But I want to pay it off, and I don't know how much I'm going to be able to pay. I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay it, but I'm going to pay every account so much a month, I don't know how much it'll be. That guy looked over at this girl and says, pull his card. And he says, when he comes in and pays off, put that card in the back and leave it in the back, which means it's not active. And when he gets that paid off, carry that. He didn't say, thank you, good, I'm proud of you. You're a great guy. I want your business later. And I walked off and said, son of a bitch. All they wanted, they didn't want to talk about my newfound thing and my big change and how great I was. All they didn't want me to explain anything to them. You know, when I told my company that I was an alcoholic and I was in A, they said, fine. Didn't say anything else. Hell, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to explain it to them, even though I know you told me there's no way to explain it. You know, there's no way to explain something when you don't understand what you said. We go try to explain AA to somebody, says, man, God, he doesn't understand. Well, do you? Of course not. You do have a problem. After that, all that, then this guy said the biggest thing that I had, everything about me had to become, because I was the way I was until I became different. And I'm going to be covered up with what I'm covered up with until I become different. And I'm going to have to see, as long as I kept trying to have relationships with people until I became different, I could not have a relationship with another human being. I could not have a lasting relationship with my fellow man. Until I began to do that, until I got the Alcoholics Anonymous and began to do what you told me to do, and I didn't even know what you were telling me to do was going to give me what it was giving me. And I was getting what I didn't know I was getting, even though it's always what I wanted, but I didn't know what it was. You understand? See, that's simple. You and I understand that. Nobody else will, but you and I do. And that's what happened to me, even though I didn't know what I was doing. And the things that I was doing were not what was doing it to me. That just kept me occupied. And the things that I didn't know I was doing was what worked. I never didn't know how you're going to be different and know about it before you're different. You can't. So I had to take his word for it, that if I'll do what he told me not to do and to do, then I want to be different at the end of the show. And that's true. When that thing was removed from me, then I knew that I could have a relationship with another human being. Now, how am I going to do it? Oh, I don't know. You know why you and I don't know? We don't know how to date another human being. We never did. I don't know why we thought we did. My God, we had to drink to do it. And then we did it, screwed up. How many people, like you and I, we never knew who in the hell we was with? We never knew the person at all. No, it's luck back. Some of us was married like me. No luck at all. But I know what she was. I know who she was at all. One time I was driving in Louisiana, and I'd been sober about 14 months. And I stopped at this place to get something to drink, and they had a big set of cards up there. And on one of these cards, they had an old man, old woman sitting down there, an old haggard, teeth all out and everything else, just sitting down there, and he says, and all of a sudden I sobered up. And you turn the page and the other way, and he says, and there you were. I brought that card home, though, what's her name? Did exactly what I thought it would do. She said, you no good son of a bitch. I said, please. Truth, though, was the truth. So we got the back out, look there. Look here. There she is. You know how we did? We hated each other. You know how we found out? We hated each other. Do you love to live where you hate people? Yep, sure it is. The only thing wrong about that is, stay wherever AA finds you. Wherever AA finds you, if it finds you it's still having a job, stay there until it's changed for you. If it finds you with married, stay married, because you find out the truth about yourself. Unless it's changed for you. Don't change any situation. That's what they tell us, the 6th and 7th step. If we're going to live that kind of a life, we're going to get into the 8th and 9th step, because we're going to forgive ourselves enough not to go and have our way. Humility is no problem at all. Nothing to it. Just give up having my way. No problem there, is it? Just give that up. You don't mind doing that, do you? I'm never going to have anything my way. I'm going to give up all control. I'm not going to try to control another human being at all. I'm not going to find fault with another human being. There's no way to live with a human being and find fault with them. You just can't do it. Well, not what? And there's no way to live with another human being and tell them what to do. The humiliation that you and I had to go through to not drink. Anybody get here too early? Didn't do it, did you? Did you get here the first, second, eighth, ninth, tenth time you humiliated yourself, made an ass out of yourself? Car wreck, got drunk, DWI? Did you quit? When somebody said, drink it. I had cancer liver damage one time. Went in the hospital, stayed 4 days, gave me some pills. Shot me some stuff, gave me a bunch of milkshake stuff. Got feeling good in 4 days. This was fantastic. And the doctor said, now I'm going to tell you something. He released me. 11 o'clock that day, he said, I'm going to tell you something. You drink another drop, you're going down the drain. You've got 10% liver damage, and it's totally for one thing. That's drinking. And you've got to quit. And you're going to have to take these pills. It's going to take from 2 to 3 months for that liver to clear up. But if you keep drinking, it's going to be damaged where it will not clear up. And I said, you bet. Got right in that car, drove to my beer joint. Guy walked in and said, come on, I'll buy a beer. Got 90% to go. That's us. Don't want to get in there early. I don't want to do this deal early either. How many of you and I, time after time after time after time, have we kept living and making ourselves miserable and miserable and miserable and miserable, talking about it, talking about God not giving us what we wanted, talking about God not doing what we wanted to, over and over and over again? Love to sit and live in sickness. You and I. You and I are sick. You know why? Look there. Right there. You don't believe it, do you? How can you sit in a car and go crazy? You can do that, you know. You and I just sit in a car and go nuts. How many times have you said, pick up phone, I'm out of control. Well, what the hell, how do you do that? I don't know. We just don't know how to do it. A lot of people don't know how to do that. I do. And then another thing about it, when I get ready to start doing something about it, I start not doing it. Our greatest deal is, by God, I want to tell you something, I'm confused. Well, isn't that a miracle? Insane person's confused. I can tell you you're confused. God, we're thinking, and we think we're confused. Because I've got to learn to think about the things I don't need to think about. And the things I think about and trying to do this other deal confuses me. And you know what's wrong? What's wrong with being confused? Somebody finally told me one night, I said, oh, I want to tell you something, I'm confused about this whole damn thing. They said, well, it's okay. I said, what do you mean? Well, you're just confused right now. I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, be confused. So I just stayed confused till I wasn't. And that's what they're telling us today. Over and over and over again. You and I never made a stand in our life. And you think you ran your life? Every living thing in this world ran my life. I was controlled by every living thing. Every situation and everybody and everything controlled the way I was all the time. Wasn't one single thought, feeling in my mind or body that wasn't controlled by something out there always. And that's got to totally be changed. When they're talking about a 180-degree turn, they're talking about you and I not going out there for anything. And you and I don't know how to do that. But that's what's going to happen to you and I when we become willing to forgive ourselves enough to do it. How am I going to do this? I'm going to do what you tell me to do and not do in every situation in my life as I tell you on a daily basis. I'm going to say my prayer every morning. I'm going to add to that prayer. I'm going to check with you and tell you what I'm doing. What do they say? I'm going to tell you something. You think we're not different? Do you think you and I are not different? Believe me, we're different. We're not like anybody else. Now, I'm telling you, and if you don't believe you're different, when you go to see somebody tomorrow, or whoever you work with, ask them, say, do you take a daily inventory? Just ask them. Do you always check with somebody before you do anything? Have you told God and another human being everything you've ever done and thought about? If they're still around, they've stepped back two or three steps. And they're going to say, you better leave her alone. She's going through something. Now, what do they want us to take a daily inventory for? What in the hell would you and I have to take a daily inventory? Well, the thing that I need to take a daily inventory for is because I am capable and I am an expert at deceiving myself. I am a person who knows how to get my will done without God or anybody else knowing about it. I think. And I can do it without my knowing about it all. And if I keep telling another human being what I'm thinking, then, and then only, have I got a shot at this. Now I'm going to tell you something. You and I, starting from where we came from, do not have a cinch to make this deal. This thing's not the free ride's over. We're not cinched to make the deal. We're not a cinch to get. It's all here. No doubt about it, it's all here. But the way you and I think, our mind just does it, just like that. Hell, we can have it in a minute, lose it in a minute. Have it in a minute, lose it in a minute. We got something we could have nothing but strawberries and ice cream right there. And then something will happen. Put chocolate cake in there. You know that's no good with strawberries. Or they should have had chocolate cake because they always go with strawberries. That's our mind doing that. That's a mild one. That's nothing. We don't play with that. But our minds will change that. My greatest thing is, recently, you know what I ought to do? I'm tired trying to make these damn house payments, these damn credit cards. And I can't make even more than a month. This is ridiculous. Hell, what's it for? Nothing. Not a damn thing.
It's for nothing. You know what that is?
I know an old motel, an old Utopia down there on Port Isabel, right down there by Padre Island. Well, it's the right one, too, but it comes this way and the dust blows in on it every day. It's dust dirty, and I've got enough clothes, and I get me a pair of sandals, and I've got enough clothes to last me forever, because you won't need me down there. I won't need a damn car. There's a few old shacks over there where I know where I can live. I've been down there. I know I can live there. I'll just leave the cars and the house and everything to Eloise and me. And you know what about that? I mean it. Doesn't sound too bad, doesn't it?
I'll just go down there and eat cheese and crackers and Vienna sausage and I won't drink. And it's real nice because they peel shrimp, thick shrimp right next to it. Smells perfect down there. I'm always thinking about upgrading myself. See, the moment I start to thinking about the way things are and the way they really are, my mind says that's true. Certainly, why fight this mess? Go down there, well, what so what? Work for $75 a week. It's all you need anyway. Steal a little. You know, just eat at the joint. Work long hours. Won't want to do anything anyway. Don't need to do anything. Just sounds fine. Believe it. What's wrong with that is I believe it. And if I stay on it, I'll do it. Of course, I always have to get rid of the house, get rid of the car. Hell, did I pay for it, you know? Hell, did I need to do that? But see, we're being unselfish people, always thinking of others. And let me tell you how you do it. Oh, I guess I got time. Let me tell you why they're telling me that. I've been in AA about 5 years, 4.5. See, there's different periods in AA, whether you're going to either decide you're going to go on with AA or you're going to get AA more into your life, you're going to get God more into your life, or you're going to live a little less God and a little more Jimmy. And you're going to go through periods like that. And you're going to go through periods like that if you don't get anywhere. And it happened that one of those periods was around 4 years, 4.5. So I started doing that. Then I had a guy in AA who had a business. And I got to, not really. You know what I had about my job? I hated it. Hated it. Hated every bit of it. Worked on it for 7 years. Worked on that job, getting this territory up. Paid my bills at the end of every month. Better financially and everything else than I'd ever been. Living in a nice place in Houston. Had an offer and it looked like it might go through for a house on a golf course. And at that time could have done it. Had the money to do it. But when you're like me and you need to go for the top. I knew this guy in AA, and you know what I liked about him? He had a box at the Oiler games. Had a big $600,000 house at that time. You'd go and spend a weekend. My God, we'd be in one end of that thing, there's another. We didn't see each other for breakfast. Fantastic. Drove Lincoln Continentals. Bunch. 4-car garage. Just everything. Well, I knew I needed to work for him. And he's a good alcoholic like me. Except he let God take care of the alcohol and he ran the business. Well, I went around to guys who had been there a long time. And I said, you know, I've been kind of messing around with old Dick and looks like there might be a little possibility we might get together, except there's just one thing wrong with the way he does stuff. And I just can't do that. This guy says, leave it alone then, Jim. Now, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to go to somebody else. I went to 5 guys, and every one of them told me, it's over a period of a year and a half, and every one of them told me, just leave it alone, Jim. See, I'm telling them what's wrong with it. I don't hear what's wrong with it. I'm telling them there's one little thing about it I can't do. But see, do I pay attention to that?
No.
See, what the reason you and I know what to tell each other not to do and to do is because you tell me what to tell you not to do. But you can't hear it. And you can't hear it, you can't hear it. You can say it all day long, but you can't hear it. Turn right around, finally found the sixth man with 17 years sobriety, and you can't get a better deal than that. And I said, there's one little thing I can't do. He said, I could. That's it. Now, what does my mind tell Jimmy? It's me. Just me. I'm wrong. Well, that's all I need. That put on green lights and everything's ready to go. His wife turned around to Eloise, and he had told Eloise, he said, I don't know what's wrong with Jim. He said, he's going to go with me anyway. Go out there and pick you out a lot. He said, y'all are going to make plenty of money. He said, I'm going to tell you something, Eloise. You'll never have to worry about money as long as you live. Well, Eloise mentioned that to me, and of course it didn't impress me any, but I went with him. And he says, Jim, go down there and pick you up. Now, either get an Oldsmobile or Mercury now. I ain't going to get into Cadillacs or Lincolns because it wouldn't look right. So I sacrificed. Traded my Ford off. Got a Mercury. And took out. And I would go do things the way I thought they ought to be done. The way I could do them. And he would undo them. By phone. And he's making me travel all in the East. Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama. And I'm going crazy. And in 7 months, I'm in Orlando, Florida, being totally, completely insane and destroyed. I just have not drank yet. It's a matter of seconds. And I went to me that night, and the guy had me talk that night, and I told Eloise I couldn't go talk, and she says, easy to talk when God, well, that's good. I talked. Didn't mention the deal at all, because I didn't know what the deal was. Came back, and that guy that we stayed at, a little old motel, we could not find a motel. It was a little old place that had 30, 40 units, and this guy had 24 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. And he came down there and said, I won't see you a minute. He called me and he said, I don't know what all your problem is, but said, if you don't go back and quit that job immediately, you're through. Well, I went in there and tried to go to sleep and couldn't. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, Eloise, get up. And we got in that Mercury and I drove. We came through Mobile, Alabama, and I said, always go on the other side. You know that alcoholics know never stay on this side of town. You leave on the other side. You go to the other side. And on the other side, there's no motel. But there was a Dairy Queen. So I thought we hadn't had dinner yet. So I thought I'd buy a dinner, you know, treat her. Took her in there at 10:30. We had a hamburger and a milkshake. Got back in that Mercury. And we drove her straight into Houston, Texas. We went from Orlando, Florida to Houston, Texas, with a maniac behind the wheel. And I drove that thing into that apartment, straight through, went into that thing and parked that baby, and Eloise got out of the car. She said, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll never take a ride like that again. And I went back and I turned that Mercury in. Now what am I going to do? I've made a mistake. You know what I like about you? And I just simply say, oh, well, it's just a mistake. And brush it off and go right on, right? Never did that in our life. We don't forgive ourselves enough to let us have the privilege of making a mistake, do we? Not at all. You know what my mind likes to do with me when I make a mistake? Beat that son of a bitch right to the ground. And when my mind catches Jimmy in a mistake, it says, I'm going to beat him to death. Well, I had a pair of white pajamas that's brand new. I moved in those white pajamas. Had a lounge chair. Moved in there. Had a phone there. started talking to alcoholics. I went to AA and they said, are you working? I said, no, I'm looking. This one gal says, you're not going to sit around the club and be an AA bum, are you? No. So I went back home, put on my white pajamas, and always said, well, I can always go do this, but I never did. Well, Eloise had saved a little over $5,000. I didn't know it because we got paid for two jobs. My company paid me 3.5 months after I resigned because they knew I'd made a mistake and they thought I was coming back. And they finally called me and said, are you sure you're not coming back? I knew I'd made a mistake. I wanted to come back, but what do you think I could say? Never. And there I am for one solid year. We spent the $5,000 and borrowed some more from who? My folks. But I'm only about 48, 49. You can't just jump out there on your own, you know, too quick. I'd go to those old doggy jobs, the ones you wasn't going to take it all, go through training for 6 days. Work one day and quit. I was going to do that anyway. And one girl called one time, she had been sober for about 7 or 8 months. She says, God, I used to call him every morning, he'd tell me what God hadn't done. I forgot what I called about, and I felt better, so I just let it go. That's what I was doing. And then finally, I decided I kept saying, I'm going to change careers. It's amazing how we want to change careers. I'm going to change careers. I haven't got a career anyway, but it is. And I was going to change. And finally, I am out. I answered an ad, and I'm sitting in front of a guy. This is nice a guy as you didn't want to be around. And he looked at that resume, and he says, you know, I'm going to have to go look at that ad. I don't know how in the world you got here. I looked at him, and for the first time in a year, I just died laughing. He says, you know, we're all engineers. He says, I'm the head of personnel, but he's 12 women working for us. Two of them are engineers. He said, I was looking for an engineer who was an expert in fire safety. We don't do anything but offshore oil wells digging. That's all we do. Of course, the closest thing I ever got to oil was putting in my car. And I just broke up and died laughing. And I said, it's not you. Not you at all. It's me. And I thank you very much and just put that resume in the wastebasket. I won't need it anymore. And he got up, shook hands with me, and I started to walk out, and he said, say, God, I hope you're going to be all right. Then I did the thing I hated to do, and I had to do. I went back, picked up the phone, call a guy I hated to call. And he said, been waiting for you to call. I'll be right over. Came over and bought two newspapers. He said, I want you to look up three ads, three people in the field that you were in. Call me in the morning. Tell me what three you've chosen to go see that day. And then call me when you get through and tell me what the results has been. And of course I did that. And I hated it. I had to skip the first one, I just skipped him. Next one I went to, I didn't want to go, I walked in there. Some little young guy that I had known, it was a competitor, said, what are you doing here? I could not tell him. I couldn't. He said, you're not looking for a job. I could not tell him. He said, hell, you're looking for a job. So the guy said, forget it. Go ahead and interview the other guy and close her down. I said, we'll take it. And I had to work about a year, and I was going back and forth, and that's where I got acquainted with the pressure group right there. And then Later on, I end up going to Saudi Arabia, ending up back to Dallas. That's when Jimmy runs the show. Went to Saudi Arabia, lasted 5 months. Well, almost got killed over there. King got shot. Hell, here we are. Then I'm back here, and I'm. Eloise kept saying, call your company, call your old company. I said, hell, I called them twice, now I don't call them anymore. Call them one more time. I called them one more time. And they said, where are you right now? I said, I'm in Dallas. I've gotten a job here, went home, got my furniture booted up here, and they gave it to somebody else. See, God does not know what he's doing. And then, sure enough, I end up going back with the same company that I was with, and I hated. And they called and said, now, we've never hired anybody back, but if you're not doing anything, we'll pay you way up here, see what you look like. Maybe I've been drinking some. And we had to get a new car, I had to get a new suit, didn't have anything. And the Sunday night I'm over there, I'd give anything to the world if I wasn't there. Because I knew I was going to have to go back in there and humiliate myself. I just knew it, I knew it, I knew it. The next morning, I was fine. You see, I didn't need to be Sunday night the way I needed to be Monday morning. Drove up New Mercury right up there and walked right in there. Little kids have taken over. They made me fill out all the forms as if I was a new person. And one of the older guys came by and says, well, by the way, if he's in my division, I'd hire him right now. Another guy came by and said, if they're in town tonight, I'll take them. I busted out ways. I said, damn it, we've taken too many clothes in here. We've got too much. Why are we doing that? I said, we don't know how to travel. We just don't know how to travel. He had an answer, of course. And then, sure enough, I gave him 5 references. He called every damn one of them right in front of me. Fortunately, he didn't get but 3 of them. That last guy really did chalk me up sweet. And he said, God, that guy thinks a lot of you. He said, but I want to tell you, he's a little kid, you know, 30 years old. He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take a chance on hiring you back. Remember, it'll be my butt. They won't ever say anything about it. They're presidents and vice presidents, but it'll be me. We take you back. And said, by the way, did you bring enough clothes? I want to keep you here a week. See, we don't know. We do not know. We do not know. And no, it is. And then on the way back, after all of that, trying to get a job for over 2 months, on the way back, I told Eloise, I said, I wonder if I'm still going to hate it. You and I need to know. We need to be sure that we're doing one. What does the 10th step tell us today? It does not tell us to figure out what's going on in our lives. It does not tell us, is everything right? Am I in the right situation? Do I need to change the situation? Is they doing right? He doing right? My job right? God doing right? That's not what it is at all. It's for one purpose only. Have I harmed anybody? Am I starting another resentment? Am I trying to move and quit my job or my wife? Am I starting something else? Am I doing what Alcoholics Anonymous tells me to do? Am I thinking or planning on doing anything that another human being in Alcoholics Anonymous does not know about? Am I trying to take my show and run it? Or am I saying the prayer every day that I do? Am I praying every morning? Do I do it every morning? Do I check with another human being in Alcoholics Anonymous? Am I going to the meetings? Do I thank God every night? That's what the 10th step tells me to do. It does not have me to analyze my life. I'm going through a living experience. I don't learn it. They can't teach it. I can't memorize it. I must live it and let it happen to me. And we'll talk a little more about that next Wednesday. Thank you very much.